You're like me, I'm like that. Huh. All right.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Listening to Sapnin Podcast.
I'm ready right now. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 77 of Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and my good friend Morgan Richards, also known mainly to me and 100 other people, Mo Dick.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. This is episode 77, and I know secrets don't make friends, but we've got plenty of them.
Yeah. As I stopped talking and I was like, what happens next? How does this happen? This week's guest. Yeah, do you want to introduce him? You had a bit written, you said.
Well, he's one of your favourite people ever. But of course, emo guitar and producing wizard Matt Good is our guest this week.
Yes, what a lovely, lovely human being. I was super, super excited, as you could tell. From you seeing me over Zoom, jumping for joy when he came in the chat, and then it took us about 2 minutes to work out how to get his microphone to work. But we sorted it all out, and we had a great, great, great chat.
It was
super good to catch up with him. It was super good to find what he's been up to, what he's up to in the future. We talked everything from past shows to meeting legends. The first time he remembers being like shocked by how things are going, how well things are going.
Yeah, and he's an individual who's been such a key figure to the alternative rock scene over the last 2 decades, really. Not only a founding member and visionary for cult classic band From First to Last, but he's been at the helm and behind the desk of a whole community of bands, from Sleeping with Sirens to Ask and Alexandra, The World Allied, Memphis Mayfire, and of course, last week's guest, Hiro the Hero.
It's mad, isn't it? When you think about it, like his inspiration, Matt's inspiration, just runs through like 20 years of bands and music. And yeah, they were like, I remember when From First to Last first came out, like people were like, oh my god, look at these mad haircuts and this music's crazy. Matt is inspirational through our scene, I guess.
Yeah, well, when you think about it, there's a whole generation of music fans who their lives have been shaped due to Matt Good's work.
Yeah, they don't know until this moment here where we tell them. Well, so you're welcome, everyone.
Yeah. And of course, on this episode, we get the exclusive scoop on all things From First to Last, including the untold story of their original lineup reunion in 2017 with Sonny, aka Skrillex, the current status of the band, and this heavily rumoured new From First to Last album. And he also gives us an insight into his producing work, how he's seeing his influence and title change over the years, absolutely insane tour stories and more, including not only the time that Wes Boland from Limp Bizkit joined the band, but reminiscing their stint supporting The Blackout, Sean.
Yeah, like that's his career highlight. He don't give a shit. He did it. It's fine. On that tour, there's a sentence in this interview where we quote Matt Manning, the former bassist of From First to Last, where he says one of the best sentences I've ever heard. It's nearly, and I stress nearly as good as when Moose said, "You are like me, I'm like that." What a sentence we have coming up.
Yes, what a mad sentence. But I'm so excited that we finally got Matt Good on here as a guest that we've really wanted for a long time. I'm so excited for everyone to hear his crazy stories.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and speaking of crazy things, Sean, we get quite crazy on our social media pages. Not really, but it's still a good place to go and follow us.
That is the worst segue I've ever heard in any history of anything. Oh, speaking of mad stuff, yours with is not any mad stuff. Well, yeah. Yeah, anyway, follow us on our socials on Instagram and Twitter at SappeningPod, at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD, where we take suggestions, we take questions, and yeah, you can find out who the guests are this week, and yeah, interact, please.
Yeah, and mad stuff now, apparently. Sean, it's been 77 weeks of us trying to find new ways to get people to follow our Instagram and Twitter. It was going to run out eventually, so I'll work on for the rest, but for now, mad stuff.
Yeah, I think you should post a leaked nude of Morgan. Earlier, when you took your headphones off, because I could see you,
you had that lovely
wave in your hair. I think the public need to see that. I think you should do some topless photos.
If I was going to do something like that, Sean, I don't think I would just put it out in the open to people. Like, I don't think I would just put it on a social media platform for anyone to check it out.
All right, where would you put it?
Possibly somewhere like patreon.com/sapnin.
Oh, nice. Oh, no, then I'd have to see him. I don't mind. Yeah, it was my idea in the first place.
Yeah, but if you want to go and check that out, you can get involved with our wonderful community and get involved with every aspect of the podcast.
Yes, for as little as a cup of coffee, you could show your love and support to us and help make the podcast bigger and better. And yeah, there's a whole range of different tiers to choose from. And yeah, get involved. They're all great. We've created a community that's amazing and super supportive, and we love them very much.
Yeah, honestly, it's the highlight of the things we do with this whole podcast experience, and just getting to interact with everyone is so lovely. You can meet your new best friends, you get rewards from voice messages and stuff, but just being in that group and the positivity they've all had, especially in this wild lockdown experience, as being a lovely one. So yes, please go and check out patreon.com/sapnin.
Yes.
So, shall we get into this lovely conversation with the extremely wonderful musician that is Matt Good?
Keep this in. I saw a look on your face. You started saying X and you went, "I don't know how the end of this ends."
Sometimes the I open my mouth X. and wait for the sentence to find itself.
And it doesn't, and sometimes it's way off, and I love it. Yeah, for God's sake, let's listen to that where we talked better than we did just now.
Okay, sounds
anyway,
good.
Tidy. Sapnin! Extremely good. You maniac.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Sapman! Nope, that didn't work. He hasn't bothered. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest this week is one of my favourite people that's ever existed. I was only ever lucky enough to tour with him once. He's a super guitarist, a fantastic vocalist, and somehow even better producer. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Good.
Yes!
And luckily for us, he doesn't produce podcasts.
Does that work?
Yeah.
There you go. Yes. Okay. Morgan, you have to cut that massive gap.
No, I want you to leave it.
What, the massive gap?
Yeah. Have you ever, you know, Andy Kaufman, you know, it's like one of those like weird dramatic moments where I'm like, I'm a music producer. There's no audio. No, actually, that was really weird because I got this podcasting mic and I was like, oh, this thing's great. And then I haven't actually tried it yet and it was working, but now it's not. So,
perfect time to test it out. So, thanks for taking the time with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I mean, I did technically test it, but it wasn't really the same vibe. It's okay, guys. You know, we all learned something today.
Yeah, that's. How are you? How is lockdown treating you?
It's fine. It's, I don't know. It's weird, you know, you go through waves. Like, it started off like, holy shit. It was actually really funny because I was one of the first people in my life circle that actually took it seriously in the sense of, like, the repercussions. Like, when it first started happening, I was the one being like, guys, I think this is going to really fuck some stuff up. And they're like, no, it's fine. I'm like, yeah, no, it is. And then, like, literally, like, it was either the same day or it was the next day was when we had that crazy thing where everything got canceled all in one day, like the NBA and the baseball and, you know, how that one day happened. It was just like apocalypse of events.
Yeah. What have you been doing over this period?
You know, like, it's, well, it's actually really funny because the way it's worked out for me is at first, it was like, okay, this is kind of weird. And then I have a 2.5-year-old right now who goes to a Montessori school. I don't know if you have Montessori in England, but you might. Yeah. It's just a kind of, it's a different kind of learning thing. It's cool. We don't need to talk about that right now, though. But it's really sick. And she goes there usually. And my wife's in law school. And law school, they moved everything to this, like Zoom. So sometimes she takes classes over Zoom. And my 2-year-old who was at school all day was no longer in school all day, so I became the nanny, and I became like the pretty much like the full-time caretaker of my daughter for quite a while, and that was like a big chunk of it. And then she ended up going to her grandma's house, and my wife took finals, and now that's over. So now we're in like this new phase where I have free time again, and I'm starting to work again on projects and whatnot. So it's been kind of a roller coaster.
Yeah, sounds it.
Nice. Yeah. Last week we had Hyro the Hero.
We did.
And he spoke beautifully about you. He loves you. And yeah, he just, yeah, so this is what, that was the idea. Like, he mentioned you, and I was like, of course, how have I not reached out? How have I not reached out to Matt? So then, yeah, reached out last week. So yeah, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
How did you come to work with Hyro?
How did I? It was either from Ben Bruce of Asking, or it was through like my management or a lawyer or something like that. But Yeah, that is. Okay. So what happened was Ben Bruce, like, he lives here with me. And he was like, hey, like, this guy Hire, you should do a song with him. And, you know, like, we should, like, write it together. And I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And so we did. And then it came out pretty good. And then it was kind of like a relationship that built from there. And then I just ended up doing his whole record because we just had a really good vibe. We just made that connection on that first day. And it's cool because I think, like, there's not, like, tons of rock producers that like a lot of rap and stuff like I do. So, and, like, I, like, kind of merged the two worlds in my styles of how I produce and stuff like that. So I think it just, like, really specifically applied to him really well.
Yeah. And obviously you've been producing for many years now for totally different kind of bands and everything. How do you kind of see that growth and evolution from once you started to now? Can you just see and picture different styles and songs and what, how are you going to work on things?
Yeah. It's funny. Like, it just depends on, like, who it is and everything. But a lot of times, like, you start off, like, trying to cultivate some kind of vision that you're, like, aspiring towards, you know, bringing to fruition. And, you know, when you talk to the bands about it, you know, you try and get a vibe, or, you know, sometimes you just, like, build that vibe together, or sometimes it just organically happens. Every situation is different. I know that sounds, like, really, like, wishy-washy, but I think it's, like, the ability to have the intuition to, like, understand that and be able to, like, tangibly pursue what it is that you need to, in the best way possible, is what makes you a person good at what I do.
Okay. Yeah, because we've had a couple of guests, as Sean mentioned, Hiro and Sleeping With Sirens song in the past, and really talk about their experience of working with you. And one thing the two of them have said is that you're quite a really hands-on producer, and the fact that, like, you like to get involved in the songwriting process and just be, like, almost a part of that project or that band. Is that a fair representation of how you like to do work? Or, I mean, do you just like to take everything on and just try and make the best record or song or whatever it is you're working on possible?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair representation. I like to be, like, in the band when I'm making a record. And, like, maybe that's kind of selfish or weird in some ways, but no one's ever really had a problem with this. So I think, like, I was in a band for so long. It's probably just some kind of, like, you know, this organic thing that I have in me to just want to be, like, as involved as possible. Because I always was in my own band, you know. It's probably just, like, all I really know in my heart.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, speaking of bands, are you? Are there any plans for more to come from First to Last after the lockdown, possibly?
I don't know, man. People ask me that, and I'm like, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
It's funny. Like, it's just, like, so not up to me. But it's, I mean, someone would probably hear them and be like, really, why not? But I mean, at the end of the day, like, Sonny is a busy ass guy. And I think that because we have decided to reform the band in its original lineup, I really don't see there being any way to go forward now without it being the four of us.
Yeah.
I just don't think that there's any room left for, like, a changing of lineup at this point. I just think it's too confusing for the fans. I really think that, like, as a story goes, like, the plot, the ending of the story being that we all got back together at the end of it is the right ending.
Yeah.
So until he's ready to do something, I just don't think it can happen. And that is honestly, and people might think it's bullshit, but I really do think that that is in the best interest of the fans and the band. I just don't think they need any more convolution of the ideas or anything like that.
Yeah, that's really great to hear because, you know, obviously From First to Last has had such a wild kind of history with all the lineup changes and everything in the past. So to see the four of you now back together, being treating it as when you're kind of ready to do stuff, then you'll see what happens. I think a lot of fans can kind of respect that a bit more and they may be excited to see what does come next.
Yeah, I would hope so. Because I just sort of think about it, like, for a long time, I thought about it, like, what do I want? And what do I need, you know, especially when the band is, like, your livelihood, it's how you exist, you know, and it's also how you solely define who you are. I'm sure you know that, Sean.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really hard to have objectivity when you're talking about something that you have not only dedicated your whole life to, but also, like, solely defines you. And I think when you're able to step away from that point of view, it really it really expands the way that you are able to perceive the situation and make decisions. And I just think that now I try to look at it like, if I was a fan, what would I want out of this band? And then make the decisions based off of that. Because really, the band existing, for us, it's fun. And that is, it's just, that's it. It's about us having fun. You know, it's like a luxury to have the band now. And for fans, I think it's important to them to have it remain in this like this light of credibility, and just something that, you know, it still means something to them. And I just don't want to like dilute the meaning of the band for people.
But what was that experience of getting the original lineup back together for you? Because obviously 2 years ago you did release two singles, and there was kind of a lot of rumors at that time of, you know, possibly an album dropping or anything like that. But, you know, you all did a few shows, and it seems to be such a, you know, celebration of the whole life of the band. What was that time like for you?
I mean, it was, well, for one, I'll just start off by saying it was incredibly unexpected. I don't think I've ever even told anyone this story, but the way that it all started is Sonny FaceTimed me at like 1:30 in the morning on his way to Coachella. And I just happened to actually be awake, surprisingly. And I was in my own studio, and he did it because he was listening to like a mix or something, and an old From First Last song came on. And he just FaceTimed me and didn't even say anything. He just sang it. And then I think he just hung up. And I was like, yep, that's a pretty Sonny thing. Because I hadn't talked to him in like 6 or 7 years. So it was so yeah, and that was kind of like strange. But then like he followed up like very shortly after and was like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, dude, we should make something. And I was like, I'll send you a demo. And then I sent him the original instrumental of that Make War song. And he was actually interested, and he came here to play a show. I live in Arizona now, and he came here, and he came back to my studio and worked on it there. And then like it started to like, you know, develop more. And then eventually I went out to LA, and then we finished the song out there. And then it was funny because like we bounced the song down. They were like, yep, this is the mix. And we both agreed. And we spent like 2 days mixing it because we were just trying all this weird shit. And when we finished it, he was like, okay, cool, let's put this out. And I was like, yeah, definitely. And he's like, cool. And then he got his people. It was like Saturday night. He got the people who run Spotify, like the president and like their main other person who does like playlisting, on the phone in the middle of the night on a Saturday. And the song was up the next day. And I was like, okay.
What?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
As you do, you know, just present of Spotify on the phone. Yeah.
Just ring him up like, oh,
yeah.
Tim's Spotify. Oh, I got a song coming out tomorrow. I want it to be massive. Make it massive. Yeah. I'm off.
Boop. Yeah. That more or less is what I was like. Yeah. They're like, well, you know, normally it takes 4 days. He's like, yeah, no, I need it out like this weekend though. And they're like, oh, and he's like, look, guys, I really need this to happen. And he like does this thing. He's like, guys, I really need this to happen. It would make me so happy. And they're like, well, Sonny, okay, we do love you.
And I'm like, yes.
Nice. And he did it. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess Sonny is like the Spotify plugger now. I'm gonna have to get him to like do all my new band stuff. I'm gonna have to be like, oh, I need you to pull some favors.
Right.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What a mad story.
That's incredible. Yeah. But I think those two singles, like, you know, the band put out kind of 2 years ago and stuff, fans just seem to feel that was such a mixture of an old school vibe of the band as well as like new influences and stuff as well. At that time, was it just two, like, just writing little ideas and then became the singles, or was there ever like a proper writing session for this rumored album that the internet loves to has been speculating over the years?
We wrote Make War. And that was the only idea. Like, that was literally the only thing. It was just like we put all our eggs in that one basket. And then after that, there's two other demos that are pretty fleshed out. But my favorite thing to do lately is I like to go online and tell people that we made a whole album and just never reply again.
It's you were the one starting all the rumors.
Yeah,
makes sense. Kind of
like the other day someone was posting about how they love one of our older records, and I was like, yeah, that one used to be my favorite, but now the new one we just recorded is. And then I just never say anything again. I just leave it there.
Oh, that's
the, it's the ultimate trolling. Like, you can't beat that.
It's just like, it's just fun, you know. And plus, like, all our fans are like, you know, they're like adults now. I think they kind of get it, you know. That's my way of interacting. Like, I'm not one of those like people that's gonna get on and like have some kind of like therapy session with you or anything. I've never been that guy, but I'll be the guy to have fun with you.
Nice. Yeah. I noticed on your Instagram, still going with World of Warcraft. Still on the WoW.
Yep.
Fair play. It's probably been like a solid, when did we tour together? I think that was like 2010, 10 years ago.
Oh yeah, but I've been playing since 2006.
No, I know, yeah. Yeah, you would, yeah.
Well, I took a long break. I just started playing again because of this pandemic bullshit. And I was like, well, I need something to pass the time. And then I started playing and I was like, oh, I'm still good at this. And this is still fun. So started playing again. I think I'm going to start streaming because this is what people do now. It sounds like fun, just fucking out with people. I can tell them all about the record that we didn't make.
You should talk about like, oh, you want to hear this guest appearance. We had... we found this old, like, Kurt Cobain unused vocal that's on the record. And just, like, build up loads of lies and loads of rumours. Oh, yes. Yeah. I love that. Are we going to help? We're now helping. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe Tupac came back, you know, and did a verse, everything. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Well, dude, Sonny's got crazy connections, man, you know?
He just he can phone up the dead. He's got a special phone that nobody knows about. He can phone the dead. Unbelievable. Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah.
But speaking of 10 years since the two of you have toured together, let's reminisce that a little bit. What was paint the picture, Sean? What happened there and what was it like, Matt?
Basically the blackout had got to a point where we could ask for support. So we ridiculously went, let's try and get from first to last. They're bound to say no, but it's worth a try. So we tried, and then they said yes, and we were like, shut up. What, really? And they were like, yeah. So then we went back, our management went back and forth, and I remember being super worried because we were sharing a bus, and our management had an email from Matt's management saying, like, I know management look out for everybody's best interest, but they said from first to last needed like whatever degree temperature it was to be exactly that at all times on the bus, right? And we picked the bus up a day before they turned up, and one of the fans was broke, right, in the roof, and I was like, they're not going to like this. They're not going to like... They're going to turn up. Oh, they're going to go... They're going to see that's broken, and they're going to go home straight away, and it's going to be dreadful, and we're going to have to cancel the tour. And it ended up being one of my favourite tours of all time.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
It was
probably
brilliant.
Too much fun. Arguably too much fun.
Make a change, though. It was nice. And some of my favourite... To this day, the boys in the blackout still quote some things that Matt Manning said on that tour.
I'm sure.
One was Matt was super, super drunk off Jack Daniels, which is rare for anybody who knows Matt Manning. And then he said the sentence... Dudes, if you have the will to survive, you will survive. I was like, that's such a tagline from a film. That's one of the greatest. If you have the will to survive, you will survive.
That's
He's saying
amazing.
That while drunk in his American flag tank top. I was like, is there anything more American than that? And then... No. I remember the bus pulled up somewhere, and I think it was snowing. And I remember Matt Manning looking out the window of the bus going, guys, come and have a look. And we had a look, and he goes, there's a guy with a fucking top hat. I didn't even know. I thought they weren't even real. It was amazing. He couldn't get over. There was a guy. He thought British people didn't wear, well, we don't. For the most part, nobody wears a top hat. That day, that night, Matt saw one and was blown away by it. Ah, he had me in stitches. What a funny man. That was one of my favourite tours. I think that was one where we got on with you guys like a house on fire. And, we were worried originally, but you all turned out to be absolute sweethearts. So thank you for that.
Of course, yeah, that was really fun. I'm pretty sure someone's bed ended up on the roof of the bus on that tour.
What?
Yeah. Was that Brandt?
I don't know how, but it did.
Yeah, I think that was Brad. I think Brad, our tour manager, or Pablo. No, do we have Pablo?
Yeah.
Oh, did. Bloody Pablo. We could do a podcast on just stories of Pablo.
I've heard about Pablo. I've had the pleasure of meeting him, but I've heard some stories about him.
Oh, what a wild man. Yeah, that was such a good tour for us, and we had such a laugh, so thank you again.
Of course, that was great. I had a wonderful time. Wonderful.
When were you in the UK last?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, probably with Drugs, I guess. Yeah, we played at Brixton or whatever.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, I finally played here. And it was cool. I liked it. And then I think that's about it. We didn't really do much. We did a few UK days. We did the normal thing. With you guys, we played like two entire weeks. I feel like I've seen the entirety of the UK now because of that tour. Like, we went everywhere.
Yeah, we did. Cool. Yeah, we played Exeter. I won't even go into it. Yeah, we literally tried to see every corner of Britain.
Actually, I'm fairly positive that, was there a point where we had two different bus drivers on that tour, or am I thinking of a different one? Because I remember when I was over there, one of the times we had two bus drivers because they were swapping out at some point or another, but one was from the north and one was from the south, and they got into this enormous argument about which one's better. Yeah, and it lasted all night.
Yeah,
like, we invented sewage.
Sewage. of all the things you could have thought about we invented sewage.
Yeah, exactly.
We invented shit flowing in a direction.
Oh, I was like, yeah, definitely.
Nice guys. Yeah. With your tiny country, your insignificant country.
I like Brixton though. There's like, I don't know what all the dressing rooms are like. I think I've only seen a few of them, but there's one on the window where like you see the line outside, and it totally reminds me of like watching like a band on tour DVD from being a kid. Like, where you look out the window and you're like, and everybody's like, oh my god, and you shut the window really quick. You know, it's totally like ridiculous.
Such a Beatles moment to just be like looking out at everyone.
Yeah, but mention things like that. Has there been a load of just surreal moments over your career, just playing with all these different bands and projects you've been a part of, that kind of really stick out to you?
Oh, God. I know it's sounded like this one, but I think probably there's a lot of super surreal moments, but I think probably the biggest one was the night that Wes Borland came to the studio and decided he wanted to play bass on her record.
What a ridiculous sentence. Like, imagine being a kid. Like, this is what I do all the time now. Like, I think back and go, how did I, like, I'm from this crap town in South Wales called Merthyr Tydfil. How did I end up, I don't know, like, on stage with Limp Bizkit? Like, I loved Limp Bizkit, and then all of a sudden, what, we're friends? Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Like, and then, how did that come about? Mm. Like, how did he... He must have heard from First to Last first and then gone, I want in.
Sort of. So what happened is we were making our second record, Heroin, with Ross Robinson, and they already had a relationship because he did $3 Bill Y'all. And I think that Wes lived with Ross for a while when he was going through a separation from like an earlier relationship, and they had just become good friends. But we had no bass player at that time. And Ross was like, well, I know who should do it. That's how he kind of talks like Beavis a little bit. He's like, it's Wes. And you're like, yeah, okay. I'm like, sure. You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
Spoiler to come play bass. Yeah. I'll let you know. Anyway, so he did. And then and I was like, wow, this is fucking crazy. So yeah, he showed up. And the first night, to kind of break the ice, we all just had some drinks. We ended up getting hammered. And we were in this like studio that had like a live like theater in it. And the two of us got on stage and we were just like drunk dual soloing with each other. And I got so hyped up that I just took my guitar and smashed it into the ground and broke it everywhere. So that was cool. But yeah, and then, you know, he stayed in the band for like 2 years. That's even crazier, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, I remember seeing you guys playing, I think it was like Reading or Download maybe, and I think, Wes was there and I was just like, this is a band I love with somebody from another band I literally adore. How is this? Ah! And yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah. He was a good person to have around, though. He was very motivating. You know, it's like having a legitimate like gladiator from the movie 300 around you all the time.
Oh, wow.
Like, he's just such a go-getter, man. It's fucking awesome. One time we had these lightsabers that someone brought because people know I like Star Wars or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, haha, let's play lightsabers. And he's like a trained swordsman. So he's like, okay. Do. And it's like, what my ass? I'm like, what the fuck, man? I'm just trying to mess around.
Unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Has there been any other ridiculous moment when you look back at it now and you do that thing where you think about being a child? Has there been any other ridiculous moments where you're like, how am I in this? How is this happening?
Yes.
How is this?
I have a great one. I have a really good one. So not too long after we toured with you, maybe only a couple of years, we did a European tour of Kiss, which was, I already knew going into it that this would be nonstop ridiculous shit. Okay. And there is an hour of stories I could tell about how ridiculous that was. But the funniest part of the whole thing was, there was one day, and by the way, just to preface this a little bit, we weren't allowed to be within 30 feet of them.
Oh, really?
So when they were walking the stage, everyone had to move away, the parting of the seas kind of thing.
Smart.
And they put our dressing room on the opposite side of the arena every day. You know what I mean? It's just always the separation. Yeah. So anyway, we were at this show, and we had been done playing for a while, and I think Kiss was maybe about to start, and I was just kind of walking to go get a drink or something, and I saw Gene Simmons and one of the other guys, maybe Ace Frehley or whoever, and Tom Morello. And I'm like, holy shit, I love Tom Morello. That's fucking amazing. To me, I hold him in such a dear place in my heart. I have so much respect for what he's done and everything. And it's holy shit, I stopped in my tracks. And then I watch as this person's like, hey, can I get a photo to Gene Simmons? And he goes, hey, Tom, take this for me. And I was just the straight dismissiveness. Because in my mind, I'm like, Tom Morello is here. And Gene Simmons is there's not, I have to go lower than the camera. You know what I mean? I don't care. He's just a weird entity. But God damn it. It was just here, Tom, take this.
Do you know what? If I ever meet Tom Morello, I'm going to get him to take a photo of me. Tom, oh, can I have a photo? Yeah, you take it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. I saw a girl at a festival once, and she went on to Sean Ryder from the band Happy Mondays. They're a massive indie band over here in the 90s. And he was on the phone at the time, and he went, yeah, okay. So let's pretend this can of Monster's my phone. Quick plug. And so the girl's like, oh, can I have a photo? And he's like, yeah, love, get in. So she gets in, but he's got the phone in his hand, and he literally stays on the phone, right? So she's in there, you can't see her face, right? So there's a photo of this girl, you can't see any of her face, but you can see Sean Ryder on the phone, just covering her. I was like, that's the move if anybody asks you for a photo. Cover their face. They won't ask you again. Genius. I love rock stars doing dumb shit. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It's the best. There's not really many things better than that, because they're living on this cloud of boosted confidence, just walking around every day. And then, I feel like we've all kind of been there in some degree or another, but it just kind of exponentially rises the farther up the ladder you get. And when you get near the top, the way people act, you're just like, holy shit. you really need to remember that you're a fucking person. And these other people are people too. It's really hilarious, though.
What I found with is that some of the biggest rock stars in the world are some of the most down-to-earth people. And then sometimes you'll find the people in the smallest bands with hype are some of the biggest dickheads, because they think they're about to be those rock stars.
Yeah, I think it kind of ties into the factor of length, how long it is that you've been in that position. I feel like it seems, I mean, this is like a generalization, but it seems like when you first accept your new role of being famous, you know, there's like all kinds of things where you're like excited about it. And I think it's really easy to lose track of like some grounding realities. But then as like you become more acclimated to your position, I think it like leads to a better outlook in general.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, over time, I think a lot of people just realize it's their job and it doesn't matter what the job is, really.
But to what you said, I think most of the people that are genuinely famous have been in that position for a long time, and that's probably why they're all down to earth, because, like, you know, they have a much better perspective at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice.
Yeah, one thing I did want to talk about is, you know, obviously, you know, we've mentioned you being a part of all these various bands and stuff in the past, but I think you're in a position now where a lot of music fans know you as either a producer or as a musician, and there's obviously a mixture of know you as both, but there is that kind of divide. How do you see yourself now? Is there part of you that feel like you're more towards one or the other, or just because your career's taken you to all these different places that you're kind of a combination of the two?
I guess I just kind of see myself at this point as a musician, because I think that that's a pretty like an umbrella position, you know, like I think anything else that I do falls under that, because, you know, I've been in like multiple bands and I've produced a bunch of records and everything, but at the end of the day, all those things still kind of come back to me being a musician. So I don't know, it's weird. Like it's a weird thing to try and like think of what your role is as far as how people perceive you in the world without feeling like a dickhead about it. Like, you know? But I mean, I guess at this point, like I'm pretty embedded into like the rock music culture. Like, I mean, my hands have been, you know, entrenched into so many things that are like part of like what modern rock has been for so long. It's kind of like actually kind of crazy to think about it and reflect on that.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not. Like I never in my entire life would have guessed that my position, because like, you know, like when you first make a band, you're like, oh, I want to be famous and be in a big band, and you're like, okay, that's such a limited scope kind of goal. But now it's like, oh, I want to be a motivating and like influencing factor in rock music for the remainder of my adult life. Like that's a very different kind of goal, right?
Yeah. But and it's you've one done that it. I, and you're doing it. And that's awesome. Yeah. That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
think about it. When you look back now and like, or when anybody looks back in like 10 years or whatever, they're going to be like, wow. Like people will be like, oh yeah, from first to last. And they'd be like, didn't they have that fella who then recorded all those brilliant bands? And then you're going to be like, technically, how am I trying to say this? you are to the scene now what I think Ross Robinson was with Glassjaw, Limp Bizkit, Korn. Bringing us those bands that went on to, you know, be some of the most influential bands of all time. I believe that's what you're doing right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'd really love to think that that's the case for sure. I get to work with a lot of really talented people who are really motivated and like inspirational. And what one thing I love about producing, I mean, it is genuinely basically the only thing I do now. And it's made me such a better musician because I'm in a room with other people with ideas like every day of my life, you know, and like you are kind of like the culmination of like who you're around. And I don't know. It's cool. Like I've learned so much. Like it's time. It's like small little things like at a time, but when you just like add them all up, I mean, it's like 6-7 years now. It's a lot of shit, you know, like my ability as a writer are so much crazier than they ever were before. Like I'll just sit there and write a song in like 20 minutes now, whereas before it was like, oh my God, I have to write a song. Like this is crazy. Like, how am I even going to start this? You know, it's just such a different mental place to be in. And it's one that I'm really stoked about.
Yeah, I'm sure, because obviously you've lived in there and you've worked every day on things that you don't really realize that until you have a process of just sitting down and have a chance to reflect.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that having the time to reflect is something that when you're consistently pursuing something, you don't really ever get to do it. I remember the first time in my entire life I was able to reflect at all as an adult was when we canceled Warped Tour in 2006 because of Sonny's vocals, his chords are damaged. And it was the first time we took a second to stop. And I was like, whoa, we're getting pretty big, man. It was crazy. Like, I didn't even realize it. You know, I was just sitting there and I was like, damn, like we're on TV right now. That's fucked up. It like completely blew my mind. Because like you don't realize how hard your tunnel vision gets. Yeah. Like every day you wake up and you're just doing what you're doing and like you don't have any like view of the outside world at all anymore.
Yeah. I think that's I think that's prevalent in most bands, to be honest. And I think a lot of people, especially people listening to this, won't realize that, yeah, you don't, when you're going through it, you don't see it like they see it. Like, I didn't, like, whenever I looked at, like, say, magazine covers or whatever, and if the Black were on magazine covers, I'd be like, oh, because I'm not used to myself being here, or I ever think about being here. When I'd see a cover, I'd be like, oh, look, there's five of my friends. And I was like, that's awesome. That's five of my friends. And I'd be like, oh, the fat blonde one's me. but yeah. I never saw, I just saw it as like, right, I've got to do this. This is my job. I love it. I've got to play these shows. This is never going to end. We're going to be doing Children of the Night till I'm 96 in pubs. I don't give a shit. It's going to do this forever. And then like when it stopped for me, that was when I was like, oh, look at all this crazy shit I did. And then you can't be, I then felt like I couldn't go online and be like, oh, I don't know whether you've realised, I've done all this mad shit. And because then you look like one of those people who's like bragging about what you did. But then I have literally stopped and gone, I can't believe I did this. And now and again, I see videos, like someone will tag me in a video or whatever of the Blackout and stuff, playing ridiculous sized rooms or festivals. And I'm like, that feels like a different lifetime ago. How did I con people into believing I should be up there doing that? Oh, I did it though. And here we are today. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Man, the different lifetime thing is so, man, that rings so true. It's crazy. Like when I see the stuff from back in the day, I'm like, I could still imagine doing it, but it doesn't feel real anymore. Yeah. Like it feels like a dream because if I pretend that I did something, it doesn't feel any different than when I have a memory of doing it. Because there's nothing to latch it onto, like for it being real. It's crazy. Like I still remember walking out on stage to some of those huge shows we played and just being like, oh my God. But I could imagine doing something similar and it would feel the same, you know? Mm. There's nothing to like differentiate it.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Yeah, when you're in it, you just don't realize. And then, yeah, sadly for me, I wish I did have time to reflect, but kind of before it ended. Because then I guess I would have made the most out of the end as well then. Looking back in this mental.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people feel like that with anything they're doing. I think no one really appreciates the time they're living in until it's over. So, I mean, Matt, for you recording all these bands, I mean, is there anything you do to kind of have a lasting memory of that time you've worked with a band over a period of time?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little different now because, well, I mean, for one, you have so much more ways to document things now than you did when we were before. I mean, you know, we had just gotten smartphones. Like, I think the first iPhone came out, like, right around the time or right before the time I even toured with Sean. And, like, you know, like, the level of, like, documentation of day-to-day activities now is, like, I mean, I don't know the actual metric, but I assume it's thousands of percent higher. Helps a little bit. But also with the bands and stuff, like I'm cultivating relationships with people, and just about every band I've recorded, I still talk to at least a few people in the band like pretty regularly. So it kind of makes it like one of those things where it's just like you're extending your kind of like your social circle, and the people remain in it. So it's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're just like adding to your friend group and people you confide in creatively and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a different scenario.
And obviously before all this, you've been really busy on the producing side of things, working on new records with Hollywood and Dead, Ask Alexandria, and of course, Harry the Hero. What was all those albums like separately to work with? And it was a plenty more stuff in the bag before lockdown came in?
Yeah. I mean, every single record is different. So like Hollywood Undead, that was one of those things where like I did production on a song for them, and then they were like, "Damn, you killed this. This is great." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." And then I just got a phone call like 6 months later, and they're like, "Hey, we want you to make half our record." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then I got there, and then halfway through making half that record, they're like, "Hey, we want you to make our whole record." And I was like, "Okay." And then they're like, "Hey, we want to make a double disc record." And I was like, "Okay."
So you're like, whoa, this is quadrupled in one chat. This has gone four times as much work. That's crazy.
But it was great. I made 18 or 19 songs with those guys, and they're all good. They're all different. But yeah, and they were managed by the Madden brothers at the time, Benji and Joel, and they have their own studio in Burbank. So I made that record there. And then, you know, I did a good job, and Benji was really stoked. And then, you know, like a few months later, he called me up and said, "Hey man, like I have this record. I think you would kill it. I think you're the guy." And I asked what it was, and he said, "Oh, it's Anti-Flag." And that, I was just like, wow. Jesus, that
what?
Blew my mind so hard. So yeah, I came back to LA and I recorded the new Anti-Flag record that just came out a few months ago. Wow. And now those guys are great friends of mine too. I still talk to Chris, the bass player, like really often actually. And I wouldn't be surprised if I made their next record too, honestly. Awesome. We've already been talking about songs and stuff, but yeah, like every relationship kind of leads to another one. And with asking, like I saw Ben at a party, and he was like, "We're looking for something different." And I was like, "I love different. I hate the same regurgitated shit." So we made their last record, the red one with the thing on the front. Mm. And it just did so well. I mean, the album, we looked yesterday on Spotify, the album has 168 million streams on Spotify. And we were like, well, that's pretty good.
Is that all? Yeah. Is that all? Only 168? Yeah, only 168 million plays. Oh, poor buggers.
Yeah, and they had a song that went number three. One of the singles we did, "Alone in a Room," went number three on FM radio in America.
Wow!
It was the number one song on this Music Choice Network thing that we have here, and it was one of the top songs of the decade on Sirius XM Octane, which is a huge rock station on our satellite radio. So that's, it was insane.
Not bad then.
Yeah, congratulations.
Not bad all around.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. So,
anyway, I would hope that this is obvious, but they were like, "Hey, we should make another record." And I was like, yeah. So we started that like 2 years ago. And we wrote music over the course of about 2 years, and the song, actually their new album, which comes out on Friday, has 15 songs on it, but I think there's like seven more songs that we didn't even use. We wrote so many songs, and you know, it's funny because they keep putting out singles, and the first one, it was like this level of criticism I wasn't expecting, and then another one, and it's like they're like, "Oh, I did another one," and they're still like, "Oh," but then we just put out another one, and now everyone's like, "This is amazing. I'm starting to see the bigger picture here." And I was thinking yesterday when I was talking to Ben about this, the guitar player, and I was like, "Man, you know, like when you see a preview of a movie, you see bits and pieces of the movie that explain the overall point of this movie, right? And when you make an album, in a lot of cases, you're telling a story with the music, because unless you're boring as fuck, you're not going to make 12 of the exact same song, right? So in our case, we made 15 songs that are all pretty fucking eclectic. But when you put them together, they tell this really great story. You know, it shows all the band's influences. It tells a story of who they are as people now, where they are mentally in their lives and everything. You know, like there's, it's just such a bigger picture. So to put out like one tiny excerpt of that at a time, it's so misleading to the fan base. And I think that's kind of like potentially like an issue that might need to be thought about and solved in the future, as far as like how things are presented to fans the way that they are. And it's not just them. I see it with bands all the time. Even with like Bring Me the Horizon, when they put out Best of Spirit, they put out like Happy Song first. I remember seeing all these people being like, "Oh my God, you guys are just a butt rock band now." And then you hear the record, you're like, "This isn't a butt rock record at all." You know what I mean? At all. There's like literally, it's like a very eclectic record. There's all kinds of different styles and vibes on it. But like, you know, that small little you know, blurb, it just gives people the wrong idea. Like, for some reason, everyone just wants to assume. And granted, we are talking about music fans here, so it's like a battle you'll never win. But I just think maybe there's ways to, like, you know, rethink the way it's presented, because I think a lot of people don't really understand that there might be a bigger picture in play, and they just want to take everything at face value, like, right then and there. So I don't know. Yeah. It's just a thought anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, do you think that's to do with, like, attention spans being shorter, maybe? Like, they just want that quick hit. Like, say, for Asking Alexandria now, they're just like, right, I want Asking Alexandria what I remember just then. That's it. Like not going to give anything else a chance.
Yeah, that could be a factor at play. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know if it's that as much as it's just people being, in general, it seems like the overall vibe right now is everyone is more reactionary.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
And I can't say that's like it's anything you can blame on anyone in particular. I think that we are being kind of indoctrinated to being that way through, like, the way our news works and everything. Like, everything is based off of reactions. I mean, there's even reaction videos, you know what I mean? Like, everything is like reaction. How do I get people to react to this? Because when they react to it, I make money. You know, like, whoever's on the other side of the content makes money from the reaction. So, like, we're being programmed to be reactionary. Yeah. It's just how it is. It's unfortunate, because I really don't think it's, like, a positive thing at all.
What was some of the criticism you weren't expecting? And why do you think that is? Is that just because it was a different vibe?
Yeah, it was just, like, the, I don't know. It's just, like, the way that they were hearing it was not the way that we were hearing it, or the intention that we had making it. And I think that's just because we all know what the whole story is, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, no one else does yet. But as they do, I think it'll change. Because one thing that I know is that, like, so far, all the press they've been doing, people who have the whole record are like, this is fantastic. Like, I can't believe how good this is. You guys outdid yourselves. This is crazy. You know, and, like, since those two things have such a disconnect, I have to assume it has something to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the songs weren't also different, I don't think I would assume that. But because they are, I think it has a big part to play.
Yeah, but as you said, I think people just judge things straight away off like milliseconds and stuff, and then just voice their opinion instead of waiting for the body of work to come out and then reflect on that. Really, so
right, yeah. Because I mean, dude, I know for sure that the way that I hear a song when it's the only song to hear versus the way I hear a song when it's sandwiched around a bunch of other songs,
it does
actually change. Like, there's no denying it.
Yeah.
Nice. So
that's my random thought of the day for you guys.
Oh, we love a random thought on this. It's more than welcome. Obviously, I know you've said that it's been a wild time in isolation for you so far, but when everything is done, is there kind of plans for other artists you're going to be working with now, or, you know, is there things you're working on the side, or what else can we expect from the workings of Matt Good?
I have a lot of things that are lining up, either being talked about that will come to fruition soon, or things that are already starting to happen, but I don't really know if I can even talk about any of them yet, unfortunately. But there's some pretty wild ones in there, so I'm excited to see what happens here.
Yeah, so are we.
Nice. I'm excited for you. If you could produce anyone's next record, who would it be?
Man, people always ask me this. It's such a hard question to answer, but I think there's two factors here. One is, like, how big of a fan I am, which is either going to be a positive or a negative. Because I would hate if I went in expecting something, didn't get it, and then that, like, skewed my point of view. But, and then there's, like, as people, like, if they weren't cool or something, how disappointing that would be. But I don't know. It would probably be a tie between Deftones and Slipknot.
Oh, well, okay.
Do you know what? I was just, when you said then about it not turning out, I was going to say, oh, imagine doing Slipknot and it ends up being like an acoustic record. Like, no! That's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Matt Good and Slipknot together.
Oh, the Deftones one sounds good. That'd be a good combination.
All of them. Yeah. Oh, we need to make this happen.
The thing with Deftones, Yeah, the thing with Deftones, I think I could bring to the table is just like all the cool ambient programming stuff that I put in my productions. I think that would be, I mean, they already kind of hint at that anyway, pretty well.
Yeah.
I think I would just take that to the next level, or the next level, just like really go for it.
Well, if Chino's listening, as he does every week, obviously.
Oh, he can't get enough of this podcast, apparently, Chino. He fucking loves it. Chino, I know you're listening, right? Stop emailing me. You will eventually be allowed on the show. We'll work it out.
Yeah,
stop
sometime,
emailing me.
Sometime.
Is there anybody that you've he hasn't done enough, in my opinion. Is there anyone that you've produced that we might not know about that you think is worth our listeners checking out?
Let's see. Not anyone that I've produced recently, but I did mix a record for a band called Dragged Under that are starting to pick up some steam, and I think that they're really cool. So if you want to check them out, they're kind of like they're kind of like a hardcore version of Sum 41 or something. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, it's cool. You know, it's like, I guess it's sort of like Beartooth in the sense that like it feels very aggressive and it is heavy, but it's not like metal heavy. It's just like really aggressive, and but it's still catchy and poppy and stuff. But they're
nice.
I don't know. They have some really great stuff, and I love the guys as people, and they just actually got signed, and we're working on more stuff, and they're great guys.
Cool.
Nice.
I'll check them out.
Dragged Under then.
Yeah,
check them out after this.
Yeah,
awesome. Good.
And is there any final thoughts you have before we let you go?
You know, I have a lot of thoughts.
Oh, go on, share some. We love random thoughts. I do.
I thought Morgan was saying that. Have you got any final thoughts? Like he was going to kill you. Don't kill him.
I don't know how we could do that, but no, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, I don't know. Where can people get in touch with you? Just at Matt Good on socials.
Yeah, well, with zeros. I'm the zero one. The other one's the Canadian one.
Matt Bad, I call him.
Yeah, I know. I should just change. I should change on my socials to be Matt Bad, because he is kind of like a goody guy. You know, he's like a Dave Matthews Band Canadian guy.
I could
be Matt Bad. I could do that.
It's not a bad wrestling name. So if you ever wanted to go down that route, I mean.
Yeah, that's true. I'd have to practice a lot, because I have zero right now. I'm at 0 out of 100 with wrestling skills.
Oh, awesome.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. Thank honestly, you for giving us the time.
Yeah, honestly, it's been a pleasure. So thanks so much. And it's just been great to hear like the insight about everything you do. So
awesome. Well, thanks for having me, guys. I hope you have a fantastic evening there in the UK.
Hey, I hope you have a great day.
Thank
I know
you.
It's morning there.
It's just starting.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's
cheers,
an absolute pleasure to see you. I miss you. I genuinely miss you.
Aww.
I miss you too, buddy.
And I hope we get to see each other soon. So,
send me a message whenever you're bored. This is fun. I liked it. Later, guys. Bye.
You're listening to Sappy Podcast. Quality. That was awesome.
Yes, I don't know. Again, words have escaped me, because Matt Good was such an amazing guest on episode 77 of Sappening Podcast.
Do you know what? I was expecting to run out of words and say Matt Good was good guest. That's what I was expecting then. But I was expecting a right brain fart. But no, as you said, he was fantastic. He's a lovely human. He's one of the softest souls I've ever met in my life. There's nothing negative about that. What a human. When I first met him, I was expecting him to be a bit of a diva, but couldn't have got on. I don't know if I've got on with anyone as quick as I got on with Matt when we were first touring.
Oh, really?
Literally from day one, we were just on fire. We were just hanging out. Yeah, there's photos on my MySpace. Remember that? No, nobody knows what MySpace is. MySpace used to be a photo where people would be... would put photos up and bands, their band music and all that bollocks. And... we'd really, really broke down. So,
it was super good to see him again, and I hope I don't get this. I hope it's not too long till I see him again.
Yeah, I just loved getting the whole insight into everything from first to last, and this is producing work, and he's just a great musical mind. So yeah, thankful so much to him for taking time to come on. And of course, the newest of projects, that new Ask an Alexandra record, drops today. So go and give that a bash as well.
Nice. Have a listen. See if you can hear Matt's voice on it. I wonder if he is. He probably is. Oh, sneaky. And also, for anyone who was screaming during that conversation when we brought up Hollywood Undead, I can't. Everybody that mentions Hollywood Undead, I can't bring it up. I can't constantly bring it up that we had a bit of a tiff. Go back and listen to the other podcasts if you want to find out more about that. But yeah, fair play to Matt. He's gone on from being a guitarist and a vocalist to being the cornerstone, one of the cornerstones of our scene now. So, yeah. Well done, Matt. I always knew you were special, but now I think it's there for all to see.
Yes, and I really hope that eventually, when all this mad lockdown fiasco and festivals getting cancelled and all that stops, that maybe From First to Last would do a couple of shows. I'd love to see that, and I think a lot of people would as well. So, fingers crossed, eh?
Yes, and I definitely know who should open that those shows.
Who would that be, Sean?
Merthyr Tydfil Rockers. Oh, no, there's only one person from Merthyr Tydfil in the band. South Wales Rockers, Raiders.
Raiders? Are they the ones with the track Wasting Away? Wasting Away, that's available now on Apple Music, Spotify, and wherever you stream your music pleasures.
Yeah, both versions, Wasting Away and the German version, which you mentioned, Wasting Away. Are both available now, you maniac. That didn't go. Oh good.
So, and is there a way where people can keep up to date with all of that band?
Yeah, go to twitter.com/RaidersBandUK, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and if you're searching for it on Spotify, Raiders UK, because some buggers nicked it a week before we put the song, before we put Wasting Away, the German mix up.
Yeah. That's my remix.
Somebody already nicked the name. So, yeah. Check out Raiders Band UK where you can. Thank you.
There you go. Nice plug for your band there. While we're plugging social media things as well, of course, if you've enjoyed this episode or if you haven't, let us know at SatnamPod on Twitter and Instagram. But we hope you have.
Yeah, please let us know if you haven't enjoyed it. That would probably cheer me up. No, it wouldn't.
No,
I love seeing. I love seeing when people say, I've enjoyed this episode, or I've just checked this out for the first time. I love that. Mm. But I think I'd also quite enjoy it if somebody actually did hate it. So, swings and roundabouts to me, but yes.
But at SatnamPod on Twitter and Instagram, give us a follow. And hey, give us a lovely rating, review, like, subscribe, and all that malarkey as well, wherever you're listening to this podcast.
Please do, it all helps us.
Yes, and speaking of helping us, nothing more would put a smile on our face than becoming, Sean's laughing because he knows, he doesn't know where words are going to go, but nothing more would bring us happiness than joining our lovely Patreon community at patreon.com/sapnin.
Oh, I was waiting for you to cock a right up end. Yes. As Morgan said, check out our Patreon. I know we mention every week. I'm sorry about that. But it really does help the show and us to survive and make these episodes. So thank you very much to everybody that's already a Patreon member. We have some of the elite members of our Patreon crew that we need to thank, which will be read out this week by Morgan the Great Reader Richards.
Ha ha! Unfortunately, my reading skills aren't up to scratch this week. So
I was going
to
say, why didn't you just do an impression of me?
Okay.
So you just go, right then. Well, you've got to get into the character, don't you? So if you just do a cough and then you'll just start talking and then we'll see how good your impression of me is.
Okay, right, let's give it a go. Ready?
Yeah. Right then, special thanks to Mayumi Luaway, Kylie Old Tired and Ready to Day Drink Wheeler, Mitch Perry, Bert, Amy Chilvers, Janelle Send Me Dumb Things for Sean to Read Out, Kasten, Amadine Urbano, Emma Barber, Dana Lasnova, Samantha Spray, Somebody Call 911, Shani Fire Burning on the Dance Floor, whoa, I love Shani's ones, Kelly Mrs. Human Contact Young, Nathan Crawshaw, Dilly My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard Grimwood, Michael Engler, Kelly Owen, Drew a Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Doo Styles, Tom Owen, that's new Patreon Tom Owen, thanks for joining brother, Kate Puttock,
Simon Amos, Amy the Maxin Dancing Campion, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Mo Diddly Widdly Dick Munster, El Secret Not Santa, Douglas, Emily Senegals, Lucy Deeds, James Oakley, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Erin Howard, Becky, can someone make Paul buy me a goat, please, my Oko? I love they're using it to get stuff up on each other. Louis Cook, no hanky panky, just hanky wanky. Nice one, Kieran. No hanky panky, just hanky wanky. Sarah Stewart, Marty Jacobson, Mike Cunningham, Jamie O'Jamie, Sandra Kuchachik. Kuchachuk. She told me I had it wrong, so we'd say in her. Kuchachik. I'm going to go with Kuchachik. Sandra Kuchachik. I've got to stop saying it. Patrick Wadefield Newbury. Roger Todger, Scott Jones, Livy Cropper, Lydia Henderson, James McNaught, Amy Thomas, Tallulah Grant, Samuel Griffiths, Stuart McNaught, Jenny Robinson, Paul I Ain't Afraid of No Goats, Ishfield, nice, Tony Michael, Sarah James, Kelly Cannon, Ollie Amesbury, Kelly, not that Kelly, or that Kelly, or even the other Kelly, Mallory.
Oh, wow, that's the best one.
Saved the best till last. Thanks, Kel, that's hilarious. Kelly, not that Kelly, or that Kelly, or even the other Kelly, Mallory. Nice one. Thank you to all of those people and all of the other Patreons. You are absolute superstars, and we appreciate you and your love and support, and love and support for each other so, so much. Thank you. We love you.
See, I thought my impression there was spot on. I even got my laughs in it as well.
I didn't even interrupt. I was so flabbergasted. I was like, that sounds like me. Fair play to you.
Thanks for being practicing. Don't ask me to do Arnie though, because
I can't do Arnie either.
Yes, but thank you so much to everyone involved with our Patreon. As Sean said, yeah, we go on about it a lot, but it literally does mean the world to us, so please go and check it out if you can. Everything that goes into it goes back into making the podcast bigger and better than before, especially with things like equipment and all that malarkey. So yes, patreon.com/sapnin, and we will show you all of our love as well as the other patrons.
Yeah, and there's also loads of behind the scenes bonus content on the Patreon as well, where we put up other chats that we've done, some videos of us being around and about, behind the scenes photos with bands as well. So yeah, check it out, patreon.com/sapnin. Let's stop talking about that right now.
Okay, fine. We do need though a word of the week, so that all these lovely listeners can let us know that they have reached this part of the episode and put it in all their Instagram stories, tweet about it, Facebook, Snapchat, I don't know, can you TikTok it? If you can, go for it. I don't have a word of the week, sadly, Sean. Do you?
No. I've just thought about somebody doing a TikTok dance to one of our episodes. That would be good, I think. Or terrible. Probably terrible. What a stupid idea.
Have a bash. Let us know.
Word of the week. Tell you what we'll do. Hashtag Matt Bad.
Nice.
Thank you. Thanks, Morg.
Hashtag Matt Bad. Put all that in your Instagram stories and malarkey and send it to everyone you know. If you love him, if you hate him, if you haven't talked to someone in like 4.5 years, then send it to him and be like, hey, I know it's been a while, I'm very sorry, but your ears will enjoy this.
That's very, very good. Good suggestion, Morg. I like it.
Nice. I'm full of them. I'm full of them.
Yeah, it's a good icebreaker. Oh, check out these knobheads. Yeah. Do you like these knobheads?
Oh, the one can't. This shit? The one can't spell or talk, and then the other one is just.
Well, he's just going off on his own, isn't he? He's going off on his own, and he's sounds like he's got a mouthful of marbles at all times. So, overall, this really, looking back in here, we've done 77 episodes. This isn't the medium for us. We should be doing mime or something. We shouldn't be allowed to be talking as professionals.
I'm enjoying it though.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. But Jesus Christ, it's not unbelievable.
Anything else you'd like to mention, Sean, while you have this time and platform with people?
Sad to hear the Red and Leeds isn't happening this year. Yeah, other than that, it's crazy. Yeah, so we've gone from 2 months to being like, oh yeah, come see us perform at 2000 Trees, to now being like, oh, Reading and Leeds is cancelled. So, everybody out there, stay safe. If you're having a tough time, you need someone to talk to, get in touch with us, and hopefully we can have a chat. Thanks to everybody who I've chatted to lately, who's been really cool and been really nice and helped me out. And Yeah, everybody try and stay safe. Stay at home where possible.
Yes.
For God's sake.
Yes, please do. I know it's a tough time for everyone, like, especially mentally and everything like that, but just try and keep strong, look after yourselves, wash your hands, have a smile on your face, and just know that all of this will pass eventually. Let's hope anyway.
This too shall pass.
That one.
Yes, cool. Right then, let's stop this right now.
Okay. Yeah, probably. I don't think I got anything else to say. Oh, my Instagram and Twitter is at @mhrichards_. Just put that in there.
Fuck's sake. Because I've had to advertise the band. He has to get it in.
I don't have a band here.
All right, cool.
I got selfies.
He's definitely got selfies. If you want fucking selfies of Morgan's head, you want to check out his Instagram. Jesus Christ. Yeah, cool. Sapnin! Selfies galore. Woof!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.